Hallelujah. Glory to God. As Pastor said this morning, don't we have wonderful folks around here with our worship teams all across the board? It amazes me, doesn't matter which team's up there, which group's up there, the Spirit of God is flowing through them. Amen? It's so wonderful. Praise God. Don't forget, our dear sister Denise Sedry went home to be with the Lord this last week. Her memorial service is going to be on Tuesday at 11 o'clock right here in the RCA Chapel. So if you can be here, please be here and be a blessing to the family. That'd be Tuesday here in the chapel for her memorial service. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm excited about the Word of God tonight. Anybody in here excited about God's Word? Glory to God. Amen. If you weren't here this morning, I want to highly recommend you get a copy of that message from this morning. And Pastor starting a series on the spirit or the attitude of faith. And what a wonderful thing that is. Well, which will come to a big surprise to many of you, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. All of our students know why I say that. I think I could preach about every sermon I know starting in Ephesians 1. I realize that's not many, but I could start here for the most part and go from this section of Scripture. I want to begin in verse 17 tonight. Tonight I want to talk about some aspects of our calling. Now, there's many, many things. You know, God says things. He's God, right? I mean, he's not limited in his scope. He's not limited in any way, shape, or form other than what he said but his word. But I mean, God says things that apply right when he said it and still apply today. But yet, First Peter chapter 4, verse 10 talks about that we are to be good stewards of the manifold or the many-sided grace of God. Sometimes we think of the word grace, we don't realize, I mean, it is vast. You can't just say one. That's why there's no one definition of God in the Bible. You can't put God. And so in this situation concerning the calling, I want to talk about some aspects of that tonight. But here in Ephesians 1, verse 17, this is great prayer that you can pray for yourself. You can pray this for any Christian. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And I'm going to go ahead and stop there just for time's sake tonight. But he said, he prays here that every Christian, everyone who I've heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for the saints, back up in verse 15. So praying this for Christians, that God would give each and every one of us, not just the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but every Christian, everyone, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. You know, that doesn't mean the light go on. Okay, that we would know. Now here, this word know means fullness of knowledge, not just know about, but to be able to operate with enough knowledge. It's kind of like this way. You can take the watch apart, put it back together, it still works. That's that kind of knowledge, in-depth knowledge. That we would know what is the hope of his calling. Now Bible hope, as we talk about that, that doesn't mean a wish. Doesn't mean Bible hope carries with it the idea, I am confidently expecting this to happen. You look it up in a concordance, and one of the definitions given there and says, happy anticipation of good. I like that one. God has a confident expectation concerning, notice it says, his calling. We can't call ourselves. He calls us. Now, what does it mean to call? Well, we understand it from this way. You know, if I call you and I want you to come here, you know, I'm at you. There's Phil Dietz back there. Hey, Phil. Well, I've called Phil, see. I've called his name. That's one aspect of it. But if I give some more specifics here in what we want to talk about, the calling of God is a divine summons. or a divine invitation to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. See, God has a divine purpose for each and every one of us. That's one aspect of that. Now, it doesn't, again, we're not here tonight to tell you what it is. That you're going to have to get before God and spend time with Him and discover that. I will say this, all of us are called to do something in that sense. We're all called, we all have received the ministry of reconciliation. All of us can be a part of that. But we're going to look at some other aspects. There's another aspect of this idea of calling, this summons, not just to a position and a function in the body of Christ, but also to the fullness. We are called to experience the fullness of salvation. And I want to look at a few scriptures tonight that will help us here. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read starting in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just going to read the whole chapter, all right? And so follow along with me. Now, I have a King James Bible in front of me, but I've gotten over the years where I take the these and the thous and some of them out, you know, so if that bothers you, I'm sorry. We'll give you a chance to get saved at the end of the service. No. No, but so if you're wondering what translation, I don't know that you can actually buy this translation, but I'm not intending to do away with anything that it says, all right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know the same faith Peter got, you and I got? We've all partakers of like precious faith with him. How? Through the righteousness of God. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, now notice this here, that has called us to glory and virtue. So right away here we see something that, you know, we don't talk about a whole lot, but we are called to glory. Called to virtue. We're called to these things. Well, what do you mean by glory here? Jesus said to the Father, Father, in John 17 as he prayed, give me back the glory that I had with you from the beginning. See, he laid aside that glory to become a man. He never ceased to be God, but he laid aside his glory. But he said, give that back to me now. And then he asked that we would receive that also. So there's more to the glory of God than just his presence, all right? But that's part of it. The glory of God is the weightiness of God. It carries a lot of things with it, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight. But we're called to glory and virtue. Now, he says some things here that are very important. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That'd be the word of God, right? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, you notice at the end of verse 3, there's not necessarily a period that says he's going on there. It's by the glory and virtue and the promises of God that we are to become a partaker, a participator in the divine nature of God. Not just the fact that we've been made that way on the inside, but that we actually live according to that divine nature. It becomes my nature. It becomes your nature. All right? He says, verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, or that agape love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, didn't Paul pray that we would get a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know? Here again, he's talking about having fruit, having fruitful knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, if these other things be in us. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Now notice this, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now here, in context, this calling that he's talking about here is not your position in the, or function in the body of Christ. He's talking about this calling to the salvation, to the glory and the virtue, this calling to be like God and partake of the divine nature. See, we've been, he says, don't forget here. He's really kind of, he's saying, look, don't become forgetful that you were purged from your old sins. See, he's calling, part of that calling, calling to glory, calling to virtue is a calling to live like God. How many of you know God doesn't sin? Amen. Now he goes on here and says, For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now, let me stop there. Just because you've heard something once, don't dismiss it when you start to hear it again. Faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And if Peter says, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. In other words, I've already said this. He's saying, I've said this to you before. I'm telling it to you again. I found this out with God. God, he'll keep running you right back to the same place. And just as soon as you think you've seen it, there's something else. You know, think about God. God is light. There's no shadow in him. There's no, you know, just as soon as you think you've got God picked, he just turns a little bit. Oh, hadn't seen that God. There's a lot about God we haven't seen. Okay, let's keep reading here. Though you know them and are be established in the present truth. Yes, I think that it's necessary, meet, he says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we have the written word of God? Aren't you glad we have these exceeding great and precious promises written down for us? We are a blessed society here. I think of the men and women around the world that are right now learning. They're developing an alphabet for a language that's not even written that people speak just so they can put the Bible in their language. Still today, you'd think that wouldn't be possible, but still today that's happening around the world. He says this, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We call this the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John there with him. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, he said, look, I heard God's voice with my own ears. Peter, James, and John, of course, Jesus heard it. He said, but there's a more sure word than that. A more sure word than hearing God with your ears like this. He goes on to say, he says, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is given by any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This Bible that we have, it's a more sure word to us than if we heard God's voice right now. There was one time God spoke and everybody around thought it thundered. Jesus heard it, and it's recorded later for us. But Peter's saying here, all right, now he says, I'm putting you in remembrance. He's telling us, look, the source of all these things, the source of understanding how to walk in, that's why Paul prays that we'd have this revelation, is the Word of God. Amen. We're never going to get to a place we don't need God's Word. Glory to God. Well, we've got the Holy Ghost. We don't need the Bible. No. The Holy Spirit and the Bible, then the Word of God agree. Well, I'm gonna be led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit will never lead you to do anything that violates God's Word. The Spirit and the Word agree together. No, thank God. See, why choose? Why say, well, I'll just take the Holy Ghost? Why do you choose? Who told you had to choose? Amen. See, he says, I'm going to put you in remembrance. Now, drop down to chapter 3. Verse 1. This second epistle, or this letter, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Notice here again, put you in remembrance. This tells me we should be constantly going to the Word of God, spending time in the Word of God, not just in church, not just in our church services. Thank God for a church and a pastor that preaches the Word of God. Thank God for that. But we're not, if all I got was what the pastor preached on Sunday, now none of you eat that way, right? How many of you just have Sunday meal and that's it for the whole week? That's it. Nobody in here, right? Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's a spiritual life we need to feed, that divine nature. So in looking at these things, I think we need to constantly be studying these areas of our calling. What has God summons us to? So let's look at some of these. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're not going to look at a whole bunch tonight, but just spend some time here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What are we called to? You see, what has God summoned us to? We're supposed to know what is the confident expectation of God's calling. You know, God is fully expecting us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Yeah, fully expecting us to do that. Here in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, it says, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, he's writing here again. This is written to all Christians. This is written to you and I. We are called to what? First of all, he says, his kingdom. Thank God we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We're in the kingdom of God. We've been adopted into the family of God with full rights and full privileges as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, seated at the Father's right hand. We've been called, summoned, to his kingdom and glory. And glory. The prophet Isaiah said, Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. There's that aspect of the glory too. That presence, that light of God. We're called to it. To walk in it, to live in it. Not just have sometimes you read some things and it almost like we think we're called to, how do I want to say it? We're called to have events of glory. No, we're called to his glory, to his kingdom. Now, obviously, part of that is to bring God glory. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He'd been talking there about the different things that we should abstain from, and talking about into chapter 3, holiness and the love of God, and really talks about, you know, all that together. And he gets down here to verse 7 of chapter 4 and says, for God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Holiness. Now, what kind of holiness is it? Well, holiness that comes from the inside out. God has called us to be a holy people. What's that mean? To live like he does. We're not going to read it, but Peter quotes the Old Testament verse that says, be holy for I am holy. God said that. Now, would God ask us to do something that was impossible? No, God's not unfair. He's not unjust. He has called us. He has summoned us to holiness, not uncleanness. All right? Look at 2 Thessalonians. We're just looking at a few here. We could spend time, we could stop and spend time on all of these if we wanted to. I just want to kind of introduce something to you tonight and have us look at it and kind of get us started in this direction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's begin with verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Aren't you glad God loves you? Hallelujah. I was so honored over spring break. We had our spring break missions trip. One of the teams went to Peru, and I got to go with them. And while the team was out in the marketplaces and doing different things in the streets, I got the privilege to be with Brother Jim Andrews and another pastor that we did a minister's conference, a seminar. And their flight got delayed, so the first day I had the whole thing. You know, taught for 2.5 hours. And I took my subject in having faith in the love of God. Having faith, what a wonderful subject. Amen. That's what, when I see that word beloved, that reminds me, oh, thank God, God loves me. Amen. You know God loves you? All the time. He says, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, there's the word of God again, whereunto, here we go, he called you by our gospel. See, where does that calling come from? That calling comes from the gospel. When you hear the word of God, the Spirit of God is summoning you. He's calling you, giving you a divine invitation. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you answered part of that calling, that invitation. But that wasn't the end of it. And that's not the end of it. Okay? He said, to the gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're not what we were, but we're definitely not what we're going to be. Should the Lord tarry this time next year, we ought to all be almost unrecognizable. We've grown so much in the things of God. What do I mean? Our ability to walk in the love of God towards our brothers and sisters is great. You see, we got more fruit of the Spirit in operation now than we do now. You see what I'm saying? All those things that, you know, for the most part, people put aside, but the things that are important to God. Amen. Next year this time, you know, maybe you ought to make your goal, you're going to talk less and less about your brothers and sisters in Christ and pray more and more. Just saying, I didn't point any fingers at anybody. Hallelujah. Okay, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. You doing all right? Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now here Paul's telling Timothy about remembrance. I'm just going to begin in verse 6 for time's sake. He says, wherefore, well, really, you need to read what he said before, but just as I said, for time's sake, we're not going to. You can read it later. You know, one thing that I told students this not long ago because I did this. When I first started to get a hold of these things and was reading the books, you know, of course, reading Brother Hagin's books and other books, and I heard a minister say that they did this. And so in those early days, I thought, well, if they could do it, I could do it. In those early days, it would take me a long time to read through books, even many books. Because they said this, they would do this if a scripture was used and quoted. For instance, here, in second, but they would go back to chapter 1, verse 1 of that book and read up to that. Now, if it was an Old Testament verse, you did a lot of reading. But I found this out and was taught this here in Bible school, but then also throughout the years. Context is vitally important. Amen. In fact, to me, that's the number one rule. That's the first starting place. Keep it in context. Amongst some other different helps of that way. But so he says, wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Some translation says this, fan the flame. Instead of stir up, says fan the flame. Do you realize this? You can let things grow dormant in your life. You can get stale, if you will, on the subject of divine healing and health. And you get to where every little thing comes along, you know. You don't come after it like you used to. You don't stand up for your rights and privileges. You don't speak the word of God over yourself like you used to. You run for the medicine cabinet. Used to be you would never, boy, you're going to believe God, right? I'm just saying, stir yourself up. Put you in remembrance, stir yourself up. Nothing wrong with medicine. Nothing wrong with doctors. I'm just saying. Don't get stale. Hallelujah. You know, you can get on one subject. You know, you can start seeing the keys of sowing and reaping, and you can start seeing the principles of that and start applying that, and you start seeing some change. And then, you know, how many of you know life comes to everybody? The storm, the wind and the waves and the rain beat on both houses, Jesus talked about. Just because you build your house on a rock doesn't mean the storm isn't coming. But we gotta watch ourselves that we don't get complacent, don't get stale on these things. Don't forget you got authority over the devil. Don't forget that by Jesus' stripes you're healed. Don't forget that sowing and reaping is a law of God and works every time. Don't forget whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Believe you receive them and you'll have them. See, don't let these things slip. He says, I put you in remembrance to stir that up. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed, or don't be ashamed, he's talking to you and I, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. You know, Paul said, I'm going to stop there for a minute. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. There comes times, sometimes you don't even realize you slip into things. You get ashamed of different aspects of the gospel. How do you know you're ashamed? Well, you don't talk about it anymore. I know there for a while in preaching, the Lord started dealing with me, this was years ago, but said, you've become ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, what do you mean? I said, I believe it. He said, when's the last time you gave anybody a chance in one of your services to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you gave an altar call for that? I thought, well, dear Lord, I couldn't remember the last time. The Lord said to me, you become ashamed of it. Amen. So I had to pick that back up. I heard Brother Hagin by his own testimony. The Lord came to him and said, what are you doing with the ministry of laying on of hands that I've given you? He said, Lord, nothing. And so he got his crusade director. He said, get us some meetings here, you know, some local meetings. And he said, let's go out, because he said, I hadn't done anything with it. Had to get back in that flow again. All of us get that place. So stir yourself up. Glory to God. Amen. All right, he says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, some folks, bless their hearts, just as soon as somebody talks bad about them for being a Christian, they're done. That's the time you ought to rejoice. That's the time you ought to be glad. In the Bible, it says that they counted themselves happy to be counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of the Lord Jesus. Right? No, it said, don't get ashamed and be a partaker of it. Pay the price, he's saying here. Now look at verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Excuse me. Now here, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now notice here. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink here. That the calling, excuse me, it's according to God's purpose, not according to who I am. It's according to who God wants to make me. It's his own purpose. But then also notice his grace. This is something that's freely given. Now listen to me. And if I use this term, I'll explain it. But it's freely vetted. In other words, it's already paid for. Already, power's already behind it. That's what the grace is there for. It's fully vetted. God has already given you everything, whether you realize it or not. It's there, or it's set aside for you. Amen. You know, a lot of us in here, I mean, we don't, no reason to hide from it. A lot of you are here right now because you came here to attend school here, right? Over the years, okay? I mean, that's why, and, you know, God has called a lot of you to be part of this. But anyway, with that, but did you notice? Now, it didn't mean the devil didn't try to stop you or come against you, but until you got here, the provision for here wasn't there. You got to get there to get the provision that's there for there. Does that make sense? And if you're not there, you're not there. And the provision's not there either. Now, God loves you. He'll take care of you, but the provision he has and the anointing he has to do what he's called you to do is there. So you have to get there. Or at least get on the road to there. You're never going to get anywhere if you don't ever get on the road. I'm going there someday. Well, are you? All right. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2 now. Praise the Lord. How many of you know the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever? But you know, just like even though, think of it this way, even though grace has provided, and I'll use the term salvation in by meaning the new birth, even though grace has provided the new birth, have you noticed the new birth just doesn't fall on you? Even though it's there for you, you have to cooperate and come God's way, which is through faith. The provision of God has been provided by grace already, and the calling of God, the grace of God is involved in it. But in order for you and I to partake of that, we've got to come at it through faith and walk in it through faith. Whatever it is God's called you to do. Okay? And these things such as holiness and these things like that, we've got to step out through faith and walk in it. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or a set aside, a purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, God is light, 1 John says, and in him there is no darkness at all. And that's why God has called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light. We're to live in God's realm. We're to live in God's word and his ways of doing things. Live in the light. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light. Why? Because God is light. And he said he's called us out of darkness into that marvelous light. See, you know, yeah, you're calling. Some of you called, you know. Some of you may be called to be pastors. Some of you may be called to be evangelists. Some of you called to be children's workers. Some of you called to be worship leaders. Some of you called to be ushers and greeters and connection, whatever, you know, whatever it is we want to call. You have a calling and a gifting and ability to do that from God. But you also have these aspects of your calling. We're called unto holiness. We're told to walk worthy of our calling. We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's some more of that calling that we have to be partakers of. We're called to be a partaker of his divine nature. Okay? Now chapter 3, well in chapter 3 verse 8. Chapter 3 verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Well, we could talk and have a session right here. Be of one mind. Have compassion one of another. Compassion. Compassion. What's that? I like to think of it this way. Compassion is the love of God with its sleeves rolled up. Jesus was moved with compassion on the leper and reached forth and touched him and said, be healed. Yes, I'm willing. He was moved with compassion when the multitudes came out to him. After John, his cousin, naturally, but also the one who had baptized him in Jordan and also the one who was prepared the way of the Lord, had been put to death. Jesus went out into a desert place apart to be alone, but the multitudes came to him, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. There in Matthew chapter 9, it talks about he went about all their cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude scattered, he was moved with compassion towards them. And he said, pray you the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Then chapter 10 of Matthew, he sent his disciples out. But why did he do that? He was moved with compassion. Compassion does not just sit back and say, oh, bless their heart. Compassion rolls its sleeves up and does whatever needs to be done at the moment and at the time to help. He says they're having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, not act pitiful. Not in that sense, you know. Aren't they just pitiful? You know, I'm not talking about that way. Better translation, be merciful. Be courteous. You know, there's still nothing wrong with opening doors for folks. Amen. Have some courtesy about you. Well, bless God, I'm not letting them, you know. Those of us who the roadway is a racetrack, you know who you are. You know, those of us that are old enough that we got to ride with our parents, you know, up in the center section with no seat belts. I remember in the early 60s, we lived in El Paso, Texas. And I can remember, got to be old enough, driving back from there, back up to Illinois where we were. And I had two little sisters at that time. I mean, I wasn't that old. But driving back up there, and I can remember parts of that trip, because parts of that trip, I was up in the back window laying. Still alive today. Amen. Yeah. Still remember those things. Glory to God. There's nothing wrong with having courtesy on people. You know, let somebody, you know, getting out of the parking lot here sometimes. If everybody lets someone in, everybody get going. Now, if you let more than one in, I'm going to honk at you because I think that's excessive. You go, I'll let mine in. Just saying. You're thinking it. I'm just honest enough to say it. Okay. All right, let's get to verse 9. That's where I want to go. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Boy, isn't it easy when someone does something evil? You just want to do it back? When they rail on you, I'm just, you know. But contrariwise, but instead, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. You want to stop up the blessing flow? Render evil for evil. Railing for railing. No, I'll tell you what, you want to open up the blessing? Bless others. Be a blessing to others. Do these things. Why? He said, you're called to inherit the blessing. Not just, he's not just talking about heaven. Thank God for heaven. But we're still here on earth right now, right? We're called to inherit that. Amen? So he prayed, Paul prayed, that we would know what is God's confident expectation. God just didn't say, well, I wish they get a hold. No, God confidently expects us to receive everything that Jesus provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. He confidently expects it. That's why Jesus did it for us. Because he didn't do it for his own benefit. He did it for you and me. And it's so much more. How great is the forgiveness of sins? How great is that? But you know, it's so much more than that. Right? And so these are just some of the things. There's other verses we didn't even look at because for time's sake, I didn't even write them down because I knew it'd take us way too long. But get in there and start looking. Especially stay in that New Testament, those letters, the epistles, and get in there and see what you're called to be. And then start confessing those things. Amen? I'm called to holiness. Hallelujah. You believe that those things that you say will come to pass? Hallelujah. I'm holy for he is holy. Now, I'm not saying you walk around and tell everybody that. I'm holy. Because they just might find out how holy you are. Amen. I was talking to one pastor one time and we got talking about all, you know, folks in churches, bless their hearts, that they show up and God sent us here to be a part, you know. And a lot of those folks, when they say God sent us here to help out or whatever, what they mean is God sent us here to preach. So when do I get to preach? Because it was amazing about how about after 3 or 4 weeks and they haven't gotten to preach yet, how God sent them somewhere else. Now, I don't know about you, but if God tells me to do something and he sends me somewhere, it's not dependent on how you receive it. God sent me. You see, God sent me. So it's not dependent on. And so we were joking about it. We're just kind of joking around, talking about, you know, because we had had a string of it happen several times. Boom, boom, boom. Just right. And you're like, you know, after a while. I said, you know, the next person, what I want to do, the next person that says that, God sent me here, I want to punch them right in the nose. Now, you understand, I've never punched anybody, all right, that I can remember. Probably my sisters, but they're not here to defend themselves, so. But anyway, I never got, you know, I can stay out of fight. I didn't get in fights. But because if God really sent you here, what I do to you is not going to change that. Amen. So, you know, we need to be that way with the Word of God. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. If the Word of God says it, that's it. Amen. That settles it. Glory to God. All right, let's all stand up together. Amen. All right, so I just wanted to get you started on this subject. Find out what you're called to and be tenacious about it. Don't let it go. Keep yourself in remembrance. Amen. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Some of you have had dreams and things that God gave you years and years ago, and it's lying dormant now. You thought, now it's too late. It's not going to happen. I'm here to tell you tonight, it can still take place. Stir yourself up. The gifts and callings of God, the Bible says, Romans 11:20, they're without repentance. God's not taking it back. That dream he gave you of doing that, hallelujah, it's still there. Amen. And his anointing, just as soon as you get on the road to it, it'll come to pass. He'll bring it. You got to, don't give up on it. Now be wise and make good decisions. You understand? Don't give up. Stir yourself up. Put yourself in remembrance. Some of you husbands need to remember why you married that gal. Stir yourself up. You're waiting for her to stir you. No, you stir yourself up. Paul didn't say, pray to God that he would stir you up. He said, you stir yourself up. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, stir that love up. It's still there. It's still, because you got a greater love. If you're a Christian, you got a greater love to love her with. You got a greater love to love him with, ladies. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our prayer team's coming. Glory to God. Lift your hands up right now. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I'm reminded of that. I know that I had a fellow I graduated with, was talking to him, and he wasn't doing it. He said, brother, I've just gotten stale. I don't know where I'm. I'm kind of lost. I said, well, why don't you stir up that gift that's in you? He said, how do I do it? And I heard myself say this. I'm going to spend a lot of time praying in the Spirit. Stir yourself up. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, Jude said, praying in the Holy Ghost. Stir yourself up. Hallelujah. Some of you haven't prayed in the Spirit in a long time. Pray. Pray much in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, why do I need to pray? Because life, you got an enemy out there. And the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. He'll lead you and guide you into all the truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we give you praise and honor for your word. We thank you, Father God, that we are called. And you have a confident expectation of the divine summons on each and every one of our lives. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We give you honor and we give you praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, and you be honest, you say, you know, I've let some things go. I would say I've let some things get stale in my life. I'm not having you come down. I just want you to raise your hand. I want to know to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. Right now, you've let some things slip. You know you got some things God's given you. All over the auditorium, there's people with their hands raised up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you see these hands, Father God, and you see these hearts. And I know the plans that you have for them, Father God. It's a plan that's good. It's a plan that's blessed. It's a plan for their life that they'll receive the greatest fulfillment through doing what you called them to do. Thank you, God, for every provision. Father, I pray that they'd have courage, that they'd not be discouraged, but they'd have courage. Be strong in the Lord and the power, your power of your might, Father. And that they, as they take that next step, Father, some back to where they were to take the step from there. Father God, that you'll bring it all to pass. You'll bring it all to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as soon as we dismiss, if you need prayer for anything, ladies, come up here to the ladies, men to the men. Pray with these folks are trained to pray with you according to the word of God. Hallelujah. And that's where your answer comes from. You might be here tonight and never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before God. Come on down and talk to one of the men, to the men, ladies. Like, tell them, I need Jesus in my life. If you got anything else you need prayer for, you come with them. Connections team, if you would find our first-time guest, please, if you would find those folks and take them with you to that special place. We invite you to come back, glory to God, and be here on Sunday. This Wednesday, I believe we're having the youth are going to talk about their wonderful testimonies from their trip to Columbia. So you don't want to miss that this Wednesday night. Amen. It's always good too. And let's have a big crowd here because that's encouraging to these young folks, and that we care about what they're doing. They had a great results and testimonies, and God was God. Let's just say that. On their trip, and we want to hear about it, all right? So that'll be Wednesday night. Everything good that we know of? We need to make any other announcements, okay? Yeah, they'll have the whole service, so they can do praise and worship, everything? All right, good. They know it's an hour of power? Okay, good. That's just, yeah. All right, everything good? Praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody and tell them you're called in Jesus' name.